Session number 11510, reel 2.
Wing Commander Cox, reel 2.
Yes, I think that the squadron were really angry because they'd called off too late, and of course when we engaged the enemy we were below them and at a great disadvantage. I think that was the main reaction. Obviously a bit of a shock to lose three and only as I say get two, but I don't think morale suffered. I think if it had happened again very quickly, which some squadrons got the same thing, then perhaps it might do, but there was no fault of leadership. It was just the bad, perhaps, tactics that we'd been practicing. Not that they, I don't think the squadron really learned from it very much.
Between the 18th and the 31st, you were just patrolling, were you?
Yes, we went up several times to intercept, but either they were disappearing or we were too, you know, too late.
And after the 31st, your next action?
The next one was on the 9th of September, in the evening, just over the Thames estuary. This is when the operators as a wing of five squadrons and 19 were the top squadron. The idea that there were three Hurricane squadrons, two Spitfire. The Hurricanes would take the bombers on and the Spits would look after the fighter escort. Well, we got over the Thames estuary and there was this gaggle of aircraft coming in and the 109s attacked us. We, of course, were flying in these four Vixer 3, which were completely outdated, and because the only person that really could see anything or look around was the leader himself. All the others, you were too busy keeping formation. Anyway, all I heard was a shout of 109s and Spitfires went in all directions. And I managed to stay with my number one, who was this flying officer, Haynes, who'd actually, I'd been with him several times, and he, I suppose, I can give credit for the fact that perhaps I survived as long as I did, because he used to say, you keep my tail wheel in front of you and just stick to me, don't worry about shooting things. If you can follow me, you'll learn how to throw a Spitfire about, which I did. Anyway, I quickly lost him on this day because we... And I remember seeing several 109s above and thinking at the time how pretty they looked with their pale blue underneath and these little black crosses. And the next moment my aircraft juddered and there were holes in both wings, and I immediately did a violent turn, and much to my surprise... Obviously the 109 who'd been shooting at me was sitting right in front. He'd obviously lost sight of me. He was only about 50-100 yards in front, and I sat there and emptied all my ammunition in, which really was a waste because he started to burn before I'd finished it all, but I think it was a reaction of a fright in a way, and he went down near Maidstone. I got back, and when I got back I had the navigation light behind my back had been hit. There were several holes in the fuselage and lots in the wings. In fact, the aircraft was termed a write-off. We'd have to go back to one of the repair depots. And this was the first time that I'd ever had words or met the famous Douglas Bader, because he came over to Falmir. We were operating from Falmir then, which was a satellite to Duxford, to see how we got on. And he was with our CO, who by that time was Squadron Leader Lane, Squadron Leader Pinkham, having been shot down and killed, as I described before. And he said, oh yes, there's Sergeant Cox here. He, you know, got a Messerschmitt and his aircraft badly damaged. So Bader said, how badly? He said, oh well, he said, it's a write-off. So Bader sort of said, huh. So I said, well, I got one, sir. And he came out with the words, one for one's no bloody good, which of course the arithmetic of the time was very true. But I was a bit shattered, and but the CO turned round to me and said, "Look," he said, "you got back, lad. Don't you worry."
Did you get to know Bada very well?
No. All I suppose one would know is hearing the voice when he was leading the wing. But that was the only first time I ever met him in the war. I met him after the war, but that was the only time during the war. He wasn't terribly keen on sergeant pilots either.
What kind of a chap was he otherwise?
Oh, he was a good leader, there's no doubt about it. Great individualist, there's no doubt about it. I think you could say you admired him. Whether to like him perhaps would be a little difficult to say, really. He's very brusque, and he had, if you were successful, I think he was inclined to perhaps patronise the more successful ones, the novice pilot coming up. I don't think that he perhaps had all that time for, but he most likely delegated to somebody else. A difficult individual, really, in many ways. I think very brilliant, and I mean, what he managed to do, but he liked to be in the limelight, there's no doubt about it. And his tactics were very good in many ways.
Let's get back to the chronology, and what are your next memories after the 9th of September?
Then we had the 11th, we met a raid over the centre of London, and we took on the escort of the Messerschmitt 110s, which I remember firing at one, and we were turning and looking down. We were slap over St Paul's Cathedral, but I got no effect. And then I had some ammunition left, and again one of these things had happened. There were no aircraft in the sky, so I flew south, and then there'd been a raid on just near Beachy Head. There was a formation of enemy aircraft who had raided Portsmouth, and there was one lagging Dornier lagging behind, obviously been damaged, which I attacked, but he disappeared into the mist, and though the engine was smoking, I said, well, I couldn't say I'd shot him down for certain. And then I landed at short of fuel, I landed at Tangmere, and then made my way back to Duxford later in the evening.
And your next memory in the Battle of Britain?
Oh, the great day, the 15th. We went off on the morning. There were two raids that day, the lunchtime and the tea time. As the Germans were trying to spoil our Sunday lunch and tea, which they effectively did. And this was midday, and we, as in the wing, intercepted a raid just south of London. We were taking the 110, the Messerschmitt's 109s on, and after the first pass or two, I suddenly saw a Dornier below me, made an attack, but he got into cloud. Then I had plenty of ammunition, so I flew south a little bit, and to my right I saw six single-engine aircraft, which I thought were Hurricanes, and we'd always been told that you shouldn't fly around on your own, you should always try and join up with any friendly aircraft. But it was the angle I was looking at. They turned towards me and I turned towards them, and suddenly found there were six 109s, which you might say was slightly embarrassing. We were on about the same level. But four of the 109s dived away. I saw nothing more of them. Of the other two, one climbed up behind me and one climbed up above me in front. The one behind attacked, but I turned very violently and he just carried straight on. I didn't see him again. But the one who'd been above me, I turned and he was coming at right angles, and I fired with a 90 degree deflection, saw strikes on his aircraft, and he then down went down through some broken cloud and crashed near Crowborough.
Saw strikes on his aircraft?
Strikes of the ammunition. And he crashed near Crowborough. And in the afternoon raid, again it was over the Thames estuary, we got involved more with the bombers this time, and I was about to fire on the Dornier, it was diving down. Before I opened fire, the crew bailed out, much to my surprise. In fact, they nearly hit me, because I remember ducking in the cockpit. And I pulled out of the way, and of course he disappeared by that down, and climbed up through clouds and saw a 109 slightly above and about 400 or 500 yards off. And there was another Spitfire was chasing him. Well, the two of us, we chased him. We got up to over 30,000. Well, of course, the 109 at over 30,000 is superior to the Spit 1, and he started to pull away. Well, of course, by this time we were getting near the French coast, which wasn't very healthy, so just turned round and came home. And I hadn't actually fired my guns that day. But going back to the Dornier, when I got back to Falmouth, I giving my report to the intelligence officer, and I said about this Dornier diving, and the next moment a voice came from behind me, said, "Now then, young Coxey, don't you think you're going to claim my Dornier?" And actually it had been shot down by Flight Sergeant Steer before. He'd crippled it, and that was why the crew had bailed out before I opened fire. But you see, there was a very good illustration that you might have said, if I had opened fire and the crew bailed out, I most likely sort of said, well, I claim it. So there were two pilots could have claimed the same aircraft, hence one of the reasons, of course, that claims were always, nearly always above what actually happened. But in this case, of course, I hadn't. So it was quite amusing, because old Steer didn't say very much, but...
The 15th of September was supposed to have been one of the big days in the battle.
Yes, that was the day, and they still hold it as Battle of Britain Day, and that's when he made his two very big raids on London. And, well, I suppose the losses he incurred, though they weren't as great as claimed at the time, were still enough to dissuade him from trying too much a sort of thing again very much. I think there were only two more big raids, really, with bombers, and they were used, the 27th September and the 30th of September. And after that he just used fighter bombers, which really did damage, but were no threat to sort of air superiority. And that's when he gave up his invasion plans.
And your next memory after the 15th?
Well, we did lots of patrols, never saw anything, and the next one was the 27th, and we were in the Dover Deal area. We were operating with three squadrons. There was one squadron of Hurricanes led by Barda, another Spitfire squadron, and ourselves. We got attacked by a large number of Messerschmitt 109s because they had arrived too late to escort a previous raid of Ju-88s, which had been intercepted inland. So we were attacked by something, 50, 60 of them. I was attacked, did a violent manoeuvre as usual. One of the other pilots in the Vic of 3, he was hit. He wanted to join the squadron with me in May, a pilot officer, Burgoyne. He went down in flames and was killed. Actually, he is buried 6 miles down the road from where we are now. I found out about a year ago, and I went to see his grave. It's Pilot Officer Burgoyne, killed in the Battle of Britain, because he came from the village of Burfield.
Is that in Berkshire?
Yes, it's only about 6 miles down the road, and his name is in the little book of honour they have in the village church. Anyway, after that, I suddenly saw a Hurricane near Folkestone on his own. He was being attacked by four 109s. And before I could do any good, he went down. He was actually crashed near Sittingbourne and was killed. And the four 109s then devoted their attention to myself. They were no doubt experts, because two got above me and two below me, and I was in a circle. I thought, realised I was in a tight corner. Did a lot of firing, which was, I think, more to boost my own morale and perhaps frighten them than any chance of hitting them. And then eventually there was a loud banging in the cockpit, and I momentarily sort of was dazed. And when I came to, the aircraft was going straight down, and I thought, oh, yeah, this is it. And then decided suddenly that it wasn't, and grabbed the control column and shot straight up again. And as I slowed down, I opened the hood, turned the aircraft over, and bailed out. And then it was very cold, and obviously I was suffering a bit from shock, and then I suddenly noticed that my right leg, there was blood seeping through my flying boots. And it was subsequently appeared that I had 9 pieces of cannon shell in my right leg. And I was taken to an emergency hospital near there. That was the end of the Battle of Britain for me. I then didn't return to the squadron until about the beginning of, about the middle of December.
Where did you land?
Near Ashford in Kent, near a place called Wilsdon, actually.
In a field?
Yes, and I was picked up by 2 farm yokels wearing smocks, much to my amusement. And they took me in, and the farmer there, he laid me down on his settee in his drawing room. And of course I was feeling a bit rough by then, and he produced a bottle of whiskey, which he was keeping for V Day. That was in 1940. She gave me. Now, I hadn't started to drink very much, just perhaps the odd beer by then and whiskey, but anyway, I took a good swig, which made me feel, you might say, better, but obviously didn't help the wounds very much. And the result was, when I arrived at the hospital, that I was, quite well away. In fact, the nursing sister said she made some comment about being drunk. Not that I was, but she did not approve at all.
Were the yokels who rescued you hostile or friendly?
Oh, no, they were very friendly. No, well, of course, you see, I was in RAF uniform and I hadn't got a flying jacket on or anything, so they could see my wings straight away.
How long did it take you to recover from your wounds?
I was about 6 weeks in hospital. Actually, I was transferred after 3 weeks to the RAF hospital at Halton. Then after 6 weeks, I started to get more active again. But they wouldn't let me go back flying until I had a medical and that. But I think you were still suffering from shock or something. And it was middle of September before I went back to the squadron.
Did you, in the Battle of Britain, think that you were creating history?
No, I don't think so, not really. I think we knew there was the threat of an invasion, and that obviously if the Luftwaffe could shoot enough of us down, then obviously they could be more successful. But I don't think, I personally, and I don't talk to, I don't think we had any real thoughts of losing. We're still quite confident that we were better and we were going to win. But as for making history, no, I don't think so really at all. Because it was just an air battle, it was air fighting. And when you look back, I mean, one could say that there were other air battles. I mean, the people that were in Malta and that, they had just as phenomenal odds and things like that. Though I think what we did suffer on was, of course, there was lack of experience, and our tactics were bad. I mean, the German tactics, I mean, they were much better. I mean, their formation and flying in pairs and all that sort of business. And I don't think any of my colleagues or those that I speak to, I think in some ways were slightly embarrassed by a lot of it, because I knew there was another battle which was just as important, and I always feel very sorry that there's never been the recognition. That to me has been the Battle of the Atlantic. So I've read an awful lot of books, and I was in convoys myself a couple of times, and I was frightened out of my wits. But those people, I mean, that went on for, well, the whole of the war, and some of the conditions that they had to live in, and they came very near to succeeding, the Germans, with their submarine offensive, there's no doubt about it, which would have had a very fatal, you know, effect.
What was the worst aspect of the Battle of Britain as far as you were concerned?
I suppose being shot down. I mean, there's no doubt about it that it did alter my, if you like, my attitude a bit. Up to that time, I thought it was, though one was frightened, but one had a feeling it was quite exciting and perhaps, in a way, good fun. But I know when I went back on ops again, I was viewed air fighting as something that had got to be done, but I didn't think it was very pleasurable again. One always had that, for obviously after a time one forgot it a bit, but I remember my first few ops I did, which was in the spring when we were operating over France and that, was that feeling of this banging the cockpit, and one had a feeling, you know, was, is it going to happen again?
What did you feel about the quality of the German pilots?
Oh, very good, no doubt about it. Quite as good as us. I think their best was as good as our best. I think perhaps the only difference that I've always thought, that when they lost perhaps their leader, and that they didn't have the sort of initiative or to sort of go on their own. I mean, with us, if somebody was on his own and he still had ammunition, he still went perhaps looking a bit for trouble. And I think as individuals, maybe the ordinary, perhaps the very ordinary British pilot was that little bit better perhaps than the very ordinary German pilot.
And the comparison between the Spitfire and the 109?
The 109, I think it depended on the pilot, really. I think there was nothing in it. We were more manoeuvrable. We could turn inside. They were better at height, and they could dive away better because they had this fuel injection engine, you see, whereas ours was carburetor. And if you did a violent dive, put the control column forward violently, you got what was called negative G. In other words, all the dust would come off the bottom of the cockpit, and this would cause the petrol to suddenly stop going through the carburetor, so your engine coughed. Only perhaps a couple of seconds, but a couple of seconds meant that you were at a disadvantage against the 109, who didn't have this 2 second stopping of his engine or cough in his engine.
Now, can we pick up your own story, please, with you having recovered and having got back to operational duties? I think you said you returned to 19 Squadron.
That's right, yes, yes. And we, as I say, took part in operational sweeps and escorts over France and Belgium. We didn't do all that number, really, perhaps 3 or 4 a month. Occasionally, you get 2 in the same day. In fact, they coming to 2 in the same day was on the 27th of June. We had done one at midday, escorts some Blenheims to Saint-Omer, supposed to bomb the airfield. And then in the evening, we did another sweep, and we were top squadron with two other Spitfire squadrons. We were attacked by 109s, because what they used to do was sort of have plenty of time for us, warning us coming in, because we used to climb and form up, and they used to sit above and just sort of dive on the squadrons and take a quick shot and carry on. On this day, we did a fairly evasive turn as a squadron, and the 109s, for some reason or other, decided instead of diving straight on to stay. The result was I found one in front of me. I think he lost himself, which I shot down very quickly. And then the next moment, my aircraft was hit, and I thought it was on fire. Actually, the coolant tank had been hit, and it momentarily burst into flames. But these were the days when glycol was pure. Later on, they mixed it. It wouldn't burn. But it went out. But when there was this fire, I immediately undid my straps and opened the hood, and sort of thinking of bailing out, and then thought, well, I'm over France, blow this lark. And by this time the fire had gone out. I thought, well, I'd rather glide out into the channel and bail out and hope to be picked up. I don't want to be a prisoner. And luckily for me, that was evening mist, and that I was thinking of bailing out. I was down to about 2,000 feet, and suddenly out of the mist appeared Dungeness, which of course projects out into the channel. I had managed to use my engine once or twice, because I found in gliding that the temperature went down, and I was managed to use the engine in sort of bursts of 2 to 3 seconds, which of course saved me a few hundred feet of time. So it kept me going. So then I landed, but crash landed on Dungeness with the wheels, obviously with the wheels up. Got cut about the face rather, because I'm having undone my straps. And the army came along with a truck and took me back. And though I was a sergeant, the army officers took me into their mess and were pleased to see me, and said they'd see me come out of the mess, the mist, smoking, and what a very good show it was, and got the whiskey out. Second time the whiskey comes into my stories. And then the RAF, they got in touch with the RAF at Hawkinge, who came and picked me up and took me back there and put me in the sick quarters to bed and patched my cuts up, gave me eggs and bacon. And then the next day, the Spitfire Squadron 91, they were there, they flew me back to Falmir in Tiger Moth.
Which army units was it?
I don't know.
What was the date?
27th of June. Now, it's very curious. I'm not a superstitious person, but both times I've shot down, it was the 27th of the month. Both times it's been a Friday.